she was saying, you know, I just wanted my husband to stand up and pull out his sword and swoosh it around, you know, and go and say, you're not going to talk to my wife like that. You're not going to talk about my wife that way.
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Scott, it feels like one of those, remember the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray? You know, it's cold outside. I mean, it's just like gray and cold here in northern Indiana. It's supposed to rain all week. And then it's supposed to warm up next week, but it's been cold the last week. I mean, I'm ready for some spring like weather, and we just haven't had much, and I'm starting to rebel. So.
Well, I think that is spring like weather.
Maybe that's true.
Cold and rainy, and then it gets sneezy and allergies. Yeah. And, you know,
I know.
I always remember spring is, well, I want to remember spring as being, you know, 70s and shorts weather and everything's happy, but then I get to spring and it rains and I sneeze and I'm like, oh yeah, this is what spring is.
That is probably true. Even though does it not like get to you when, you know, we'll have a day we'll here in northern Indiana will be like 62.
Oh yeah.
And you'll see everybody out in, the girls out in shorts and stringed whatever tops and, you know, the guy's wearing shorts and no shirt. I'm like, it's not summer yet, you know?
That's me, man. I was out there in shorts and no shirt. No, I'm just kidding. I was out there in shorts recently, but then it was like 75 one day.
Yeah, and that's nice. That's nice.
Then it went back down. So it's going to keep freezing apparently at night some this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'll live.
I guess spring will be here.
Sweaty sometime soon, and I'll have to be cutting my grass and complaining about that. So. There's no shortage of things to complain about.
Yeah, I know. Have you noticed that? I don't know about you, but my yard is starting to, it has that post-winter look.
Yes.
You know, where it's just like, oh, that's where that blue tarp that blew off is. You know, like the snow melted and there it is, you know, wadded up against something.
I find like silverware and dishes and stuff out in our backyard. I'm like, oh, that's where that went. My kids like to take stuff out there and then forget it.
And, you know, where they decorate a snowman with it and it just melts into a pile right there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
But my yard needs a little attention. I was hoping to do it this past weekend, but it just was not warm enough. I started like cutting down some, you know, landscape stuff, and I just kind of abandoned it in the yard. The rake's still out in the yard. And
see, that's the difference between you and me. I hope not to deal with that stuff. I hope for more snow and cold so that I don't have to do the yard.
Well, we're recording a little early because you have an appointment this Wednesday, right?
Yes, I'm going to hopefully get my tooth taken out.
Oh, yeah, that's never very fun. But, you know, I don't know about you, but have you ever had a tooth pulled before?
No.
Honestly, it's no big deal. Yeah. I mean, and people say that, and I used to like, yeah, whatever. I don't like it anyway. And I've had some doozies pulled. I mean, I was in a car wreck, you know, and had some teeth pulled that were hardly loose, but they were cracked in half. And because the steering wheel to the face will do it to you.
Yes.
And it didn't even hurt at all. I mean, just like not at all. So, and you're going to be real relaxed. You're going to feel good.
Let's hope so. I have this thing about dentists. I'm the kind of guy who hears those ads on the radio for the IV sedation for dentists. And I'm like, that sounds really good. I'd like to do that.
That's right. Where you wake up in your own bed.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I like that as well. I like that as well. Hey, we're going to talk about a couple maybe more serious things, but you don't know the first thing I'm going to talk about, Scott, because now the buzz is starting probably to go down. But I think it was last week was the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
and you, whether you saw it or saw it replayed, and you know, Will Smith smacked Chris Rock, who's a comedian, in the face. He walked, apparently Chris Rock made a comment about his wife's really short hair, you know, it was kind of a buzz cut, almost shaved head look, and said something about, oh, it's like the movie G.I. Jane, and I'm not familiar with it, but I assume it's an army movie where some girl had her head shaved. And he said, I look forward to seeing you in G.I. Jane 2. And then minutes later, Will Smith walks up on stage, and the comedian, he's kind of looking at him like, can I help you? And Will Smith, whack, right across the face. You know, so the world has kind of been talking, not the world, a chunk of maybe some people have been talking, like what should be done. And people have commented at the disgrace and how he stood up for his wife and all that. And I'm just kind of, I've got some thoughts, but I'm just kind of interested in Scott, have you, did you hear it? Did you think anything about it?
I had barely noticed that the Oscars were even happening until right. I heard about that. And yeah, I saw the replay of it. At first I thought, well, if it wasn't staged,
yeah,
then, you know, I don't really care. Mm-hmm. And it probably was staged, and I still really don't care. So. And the more I thought about it, though, the more I think it was scripted. There's no way that was just a spontaneous thing.
Well, several of my kids would say the same thing, and because, you know, they watched the reruns, and it looked like there was, but what I thought is, I hope they take the Oscar away from the big baby, you know, because he is like a, you know, yeah. And I think, you know, how many times, this is not my point, but this is just me talking,
okay.
You know, how many times did they really not roast, did they bash our former president's wife and those kind of supposedly funny things? And I know I've heard replays of comedians from past award nights, and they are brutal all the way across the board, and people laugh, and I guess it kind of goes, and even they said, you know, this is, I shouldn't have done this because, you know, it goes with the territory. It's just what they do. But
yep.
Thinking that, it did kind of get me thinking, like, I wonder what his wife thought. You know, I wonder if she felt protected. I wonder if she felt like, wow, that's my man, you know, whether maybe she didn't, I don't know. But I wonder, and I wrote about it this week, if that's sometimes what our wives want us to do for them. Because, you know, chances are our wives are never going to have some public thing like that ever happen to them, because no one cares. But I wonder if there are other times where we as husbands need to just stand up for our wives. Maybe it's just to our children. And I don't know, Scott, have you ever done that for your wife, where your wife said that afterwards, you know, thanks for taking my side, or maybe the opposite. You know, I really wanted you to come to my aid there. I really wanted you to stand up. Because I think sometimes even when an extended family is involved, because we get conflicted, you know, whether we're supposed to, you know, maybe our parents say something, our in-laws say something, or a brother or sister says something, and we want peace among everybody, so we don't really say much. But I wonder sometimes if they want us to not get violent, but if they want us just to stand up for them. Because I know one time, we had a situation at a church I was attending. It was kind of a home church, but it was a big group of 100 people. And we were gone for several weeks because that's just our habit. I mean, I went to church this Sunday. I hadn't been in a month because I'd spoken every single week, weekend. And so we'd been gone. We came back. We heard this huge thing happen where one of the wives was kind of accused of being just a mouthy know-it-all, you know, and it was really intense. And we were talking to the wife and the husband, who were our friends, who it happened to. And the wife said, you know, I just wanted, and she wasn't like pointing her fingers at her husband, but she was saying, you know, I just wanted my husband to stand up and pull out his sword and swoosh it around, you know, and go and say, you're not going to talk to my wife like that. You're not going to talk about my wife that way. And again, that same thing where Will Smith did the old sword thing. I wonder if sometimes that's what our wives need from us or want from us. So I guess my initial question was, Scott, have you ever done it either side where, you know, your wife was pleased or where your wife said, why didn't you stand up for me?
I'm trying to remember. Nothing comes to mind.
Right.
For her, there was at least one situation I know of where I should have for one of my children. And that was with another relative. and it went past the point where I should have stepped in. And then I was at the point where I was ready to slug him, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. So anyway, all was eventually forgiven and we moved on. But with my wife, I imagine, sadly, I'm probably the one who's usually done the insulting somehow. And thankfully, I don't think I've ever done that like publicly.
Right.
To where it would embarrass her in front of a bunch of other people. Though if you asked her, you might get a different answer. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but hopefully she won't listen to this. So we try to bury those things in our marriage, you know, and not talk about them. I'm not recommending that as the godly thing to do. I'm just saying that's the way it goes, you know,
move it on. It helps. Hey, if that works for you, Scott, I'm glad. I wish it could work for me.
And as far as Will Smith goes, I don't, you know, from what I understand, they have one bizarre marriage. I didn't even know they were still married.
Right, they had gotten divorced.
So it helps me not to even think about them in this context because. That's
right, weird. Right, right. And maybe that's a better way to look at it, that it isn't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as my, yeah, I am, let's put it this way. I'm sure there's been a time like that. I can't think of when it was exactly. And right. Sadly, it was probably my fault in the first place. So.
And I've probably done the very same thing. So anyway, I was just thinking about that. The other thing that my takeaway from it, I saw that there were several people who wrote, including Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Remember that name from the past?
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying, you know, Will Smith did this like this was a really noble thing because his words were really what many other writers wrote, usually ladies, was this: our women don't need their men protecting them. You know, they don't need their men to come to their rescue because they're enabled, they're powerful, they're all these things. And again, this is just me. That is a bunch of bunk. Women were created, and I won't say every, because God gives a gift to those who are to remain single. But you know, they were made to be weaker. They were made to be cared for and rescued. And I think in the heart of every woman is that desire to be the damsel in distress, not to be in distress, but to have a knight in shining armor come and get her. In fact, I was thinking, I mean, that is a terrible thing even to instill in our young women, because really we almost tell them they do not need a savior. And, of course they need a savior. We all need a savior. And I thought, is that what we have skewed, not just women, but really all men, all genders into that? And so my thinking was, again, for dads, we don't need to create in our girls that they're superhumans. You know, you're just as powerful as men. You're just the same. I think that's, we do them a disservice. I think we still fan them to be not incapable. You know, yeah, you still have to, you know, change the tire on your car if it goes flat and no one's there. But to rescue them when they need to be rescued, because I want their husbands to rescue them, because I want God to rescue them. So
I think that's, I don't know. It's a variation on a theme that Satan is perfectly happy to tell our daughters and our wives and to tell us, frankly, as well, that the lie that no one's coming for you, you're on your own.
Oh.
You know, like that's a core lie of the enemy, is that you're on your own and you got to figure this life out. No one is going to help you or care about you. And that's brutal enough when it's a man that's getting that message. But when it's a woman who's supposed to be valued and treasured differently than a man is, you know, because of the way that they're made in God's image, that's different than the way men are made in God's image.
Right.
So, like you said, women can do plenty of things. Women can knock down brick walls and, you know, all that stuff. But this may be a little off topic, but have you seen, there's one of those internet memes that's going around, and it's about the whole transgender thing in sports where men are pretending to be women and competing against women.
Right.
It's a picture of this transgender woman, quote unquote, the guy who was swimming against all the women. Mm-hmm. And they're diving into the pool. Well, all the women are almost in the water already, and the guy's still like almost parallel to the water, going way further than the girls.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to all be at the same level, and yet he's clearly got this immense advantage over them just from out of the starting block, just the dive into the pool. It's like, yeah, women are different than men, and this proves it right here. Don't try and tell me they're not. I don't know what I was going with that. I'm just ranting now.
That's okay. This kind of leads us into our next little thing that I wasn't even sure I wanted to talk about.
Let's go, man. We're tearing it up today.
Well, you know what? You know, Scott, it's just a bizarre world we live in. I mean, it is just, this is not like Russia attack against Ukraine, where it's this large body against this smaller body. This is like Ukraine attacking the whole world. You know, this small group of very vocal deviants, you know, are changing everything. And I heard on the radio, they were talking to Rachel Levine. Do you know that name?
Nope.
She's the U.S. Secretary. She's the U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health. She's also first transgender person.
The name didn't ring a bell, but I know who you're talking about now. Yeah.
She is an admiral, a 4-star admiral, you know, who's now a woman. In fact, if you look up Dr. Rachel Levine or Levine on Wikipedia, it does not mention that she was ever a man. And when you look at this picture, when you hear them talking, you think this person is crazy. You know, I mean, I don't say it crazy like lightly about mental illness, but it is deviant behavior. It is bizarre behavior. And she was made the Woman of the Year by Time Magazine. And I think that's how I kind of first heard about it, but the Babylon Bee wrote an article about her being Man of the Year, and it was taken down off of Twitter, and they were banned for a little while, I guess. But it just feels like this is coming from every angle, and it just feels like these people are saying it with a straight face, and everybody's going, yeah, yeah, isn't that great? And I'm hearing even some Christians saying the same stinking thing, and I don't know what to do. So we got an email from Steve, and Steve's, you know, he was talking about, and I won't go into the details, but basically, hey, Todd, you know, Disney is doing these crummy things. They want to kill, I guess, the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida, and you know, if you read very much, you'll see that Disney's, you know, some of their executives have said, we'd like to put 50% of all the characters minority and LGBT, whatever's, you know, I'm great if that's 99.9999% minority, because it doesn't matter. I don't care minorities. That's fine. But it's that other group that they make sound like they're just not getting the playtime that they need, because they should be in all everything, even though they really make up a small percentage of the population. In fact, Scott, I don't know if you heard this, that one of the movies my kids have really been looking forward to is Lightyear. Lightyear is kind of a, I don't know if it's the backstory of Buzz Lightyear, you know, it's more of a, if you were a real person kind of thing. and it's a CG animated and it looks really good. Well, apparently they had a same-sex kiss in there that they were not going to show. But because of this, it came out and said, we need to back our LGBT people and we're going to reinstate that. We're going to put it back in. So there have been many, including Candace Owens and others, who said, it's time for us to boycott Disney. So Scott and I were kind of talking about this and he's like, what do you think we should talk about? I'm like, I don't know, you know, because there really probably could not be bigger Disney fans than our family. And we even have a Disney Plus podcast. We talk about Disney all the time. Last night I was telling Scott, we watched The Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes starring Kurt Russell from the 70s. You know, the night before we had watched The World's Strongest Man, which is also Kurt Russell from the 1970s. And it was a Disney show. But we're having these conversations among our kids, like, what do we do? You know, what do we do? So Scott, go ahead and answer the question. What do we do?
Oh, good gravy. You're gonna make me answer that?
I don't care. Maybe your thoughts.
Let's see. Well, I'm concerned as well about the direction Disney's taking. I am glad to see that there have been some articles floating around the internet about how Disney has abandoned what they originally were about, because there was a time when they were trying to say, oh no, Disney's always been about all this. They just did it in more subtle ways,
right.
Which I think is probably a crock.
They do that. Have you ever noticed that other people do that? They'll say, oh, in Finding Dory, yeah, they say, oh, there's a homosexual couple. And that, like, and you see two ladies near a stroller and they say that, you know, like, yeah, they've grabbed them and they made them part of their narrative. Yeah. And I'm like, oh no, they're two women who had just come back from a Bible study. And, you know, one was mentoring the other one. And I'm like, why do you say that? You know, yeah. So.
But I've heard things about Disney, you know, over the years, some of the things that are kind of disturbing about how they insulate the theme parks and have their own police force and don't report certain things to the local law enforcement and try to handle them in-house and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty to be scared about with Disney, but there's plenty to be scared about with the whole world. And frankly, we could protest everything. So I'm not going to tell anybody not to protest them and not cause a ruckus about it.
Oh, and I think ruckuses are effective. I mean, it worked on their side. I mean, Florida, the Don't Say Gay bill that they've labeled, not Disney, but other people have labeled, was a parental rights bill in Florida where they just basically said, we're not going to, in kindergarten through third grade, you're not allowed to talk about sexually explicit material. You can't talk about gender identity. You can't talk about homosexuality and those kind of things, which is like, duh.
Yeah.
Why would we, you know, I mean, I don't know when your public school, Scott, had the talk, but I think I was in sixth grade. And then you had to have a note from your parents and you could be pulled out of it. You didn't have to do it. But it wasn't, nobody should be telling kindergartners those kind of things.
Right.
And it seems super no big deal.
Yeah, which ought to be just, I mean, like it ought to not even be a conversation that anybody has to have. People ought to just be like, yeah, duh, no one, why would we talk about that?
Right. I would think even as an LGBT, whatever, if you were a parent, you would say, I don't want some teacher talking to my kid about anything like that. Even my, you know, from your persuasion, not that it's your persuasion.
I gotcha.
And so Disney had given money to Republicans to really kind of back that bill. Well, then the LGBTs came out. And they said, oh, so you're anti that. That was, you're saying, you know, saying gay is bad, the don't say gay. And then Disney backpedals from that. And now they're saying, oh, no, we're totally pro that. And so there was a huge walkout among Disney employees, almost 70 employees of the Disney World, 70,000 walked out, you know, 70 out of 70,000.
Yeah.
And the new chairman, Bob Chapek, has said, oh, we will back you, LGBT. And, you know, even the president said, this is heinous kind of stuff. You know, why would, we're here for you. We've got your back. And I'm like, again, it just sounds bizarre.
Well, I can't imagine owning a business catering to the public, because, I mean, there's no winning side to be on. And you, if you want to stay in business, you're going to have to choose some side and try and cater to them, because you're just going to get canceled by both if you don't. And, well, maybe not. I don't know. It just the whole thing's so frustrating that, and I don't see, like, it used to be, I'll cut all this out of
it. It's okay, guy. This is, I know, leave it in, because this is the dilemma. You can feel it.
Yeah. It used to be that it seemed like most Americans were on the big issues on the same page. Mm-hmm. We all kind of believed the same basic core values and worldview. Now, I mean, people were like, oh, well, I don't see why you have to hate people over politics. And I don't hate anybody over their politics, but I don't see how the two sides agree on anything when it literally comes down to good versus evil and right. No. How do you compromise?
I don't think they can meet. I don't think they can meet in the middle.
And when now every issue has become that, to the point where it's like, well, what our 9-year-old is going to hear in school is this divisive. I don't know how we agree on this. Like, we're nice people in America. We're very kind, loving people, but there is a point where we say enough.
Well, I agree.
Maybe it's time to say enough to Disney and enough to a lot of other groups. But I think you and I are probably on the same page here that we don't want this to become the We Are Saying Enough podcast, where that's all we talk about from now on.
Yeah. Again, you know, as we've talked before, where it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you know, basically to mind your own business and work with your own hands. And I think, you know, it seems to me like the writer is saying, basically, you beat a dead. You know, you do your family stuff, you take care of your family, you take care of your circle, you know, and do your work. And I think that's kind of what we're supposed to do as dads. That's why this show is about being a dad, you know, and being a husband, because I know that's the stuff that matters. And, you know, I was even thinking about, and we haven't talked about it in a while, but, you know, when we had hashtag staying married, I'm staying married. I wasn't telling the world to stay married. I wasn't even telling you, Scott, to stay married, even though I want you to stay married. I'm saying I'm staying married. You know, I'm just going to. And I've had people say, yeah, Todd, but, you know, I'm in this terrible situation and it was not healthy. And I'm like, I get it. I hear you talking. I said, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm staying married. And I just think, you know, that not to be so focused on ourselves, I'm not saying that, but that's what I want on this show, is just to encourage you to be the dad, to encourage you to be the husband, no matter what the world does or says and how loud that minority gets and how bizarre the world is. Well, hey, we're out of time. So
thank God.
Thank goodness. That's right. I'm glad. Have a great week, Dad. I guess by the time you listen to this, Scott will already be one tooth less. And but you can still pray for his recovery. Pray that we'll, you know, as dads, and maybe I'll just pray for us now as a group of dads who are trying to navigate these things, because it's not as easy as I'd like to believe it could be. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just pray for all of us dads listening. First of all, I pray that you would help us to be defenders of our wives, and that if the need arises, that we would see clearly and we would come to our wives' rescue. And maybe it's just something simple. Maybe it's not in an upfront thing. Maybe it's just with our kids or with something that needs to be done. And I pray, even as Scott reminded us, sometimes we can be the ones who embarrass. Help us not to be that way. Just bring it to our attention before it would ever exit our mouths. And I pray for us as fathers, as we lead our children in this bizarre world. And even with the Disney thing, I pray that you would give us clarity in how to proceed in that, because it's not just Disney. It's all of them. It's Walmart. It's Amazon. It's all of them. I pray that you would just make our path straight. And I ask, Father, too, that somehow you would just make yourself known to this world of ours. And I know you will one day, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But maybe you would just show some of that even soon. And we just pray, I pray for the dads. Help us to be the dads. Help us to lead a quiet life. Help us to be about the business that you've called us to. And help us not to get sidetracked on things that don't matter. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Well, Dad, have a great week. If you do have some little bit of yard work that you need to take care of, and a way to come to your wife's rescue or family's rescue, do it. And do it because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.